Anyone excited? Anyone happy? Anyone blessed? Are you sure? Well, smile about it. There we go. Come on, let's all stand to our feet. Come on, this is a brand new year, and we got a lot to celebrate, amen? I don't know about you, but I've been looking forward to this year. I don't know why, but I've been looking forward to this one, you know? And so, this last little while, I've been doing some soul searching, I guess as they call it, and praying and seeing what direction that we're going to go in this year and seeing what the Lord is saying about this upcoming year. And, you know, I'm very excited. My spirit is very excited about this year. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm expecting some big things. So I think to start off this, we need to get all excited a little bit because the Lord is going to do some big things in our lives. Amen. So come on, we got something to be excited about tonight. So come on, let's just stretch our hands towards heaven. Let's just thank the Lord for His goodness. Come on. You know, let's kind of forget about last year and the year before and the year before and whatever else went on. Come on, let's forget about Christmas. That was good. You know, we don't need to worry about no credit card bills or nothing like that. Come on, we got a lot to be excited about. This is going to be the year of increase, I believe. I believe that the church is going to grow. I believe we're all going to grow. I believe we're going to see God move in ways that, you know, we've read about in the past, but we're going to see even greater this year. Amen? Hallelujah. I came excited tonight. I'm ready to receive from the Lord tonight. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, we thank You that You're so good. Father, we are excited that You are going to be pouring out blessings this year. Now, Father, increase is going to be taking place, Lord. Father, I thank You. Miracles, signs, and wonders are going to be happening more and more and more and more. Father, I thank You for increase. Father, I thank You for lives being restored. Father, I thank You for the prodigals coming back home right now. Father, we thank You. Deliverance is taking place. Father, we thank You. Windows are paid off, Father. Lord, we thank You that we're getting ready for the new build, Father. Lord, I thank You that the money is coming in that we need to do all these things You've called us to do, Father. Lord, I thank You right now. Lord, people have been believing and standing on Your word for some stuff, and I believe this is the year of breakthrough right now. Father, I thank You. Great and mighty things is happening right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah! Glory! Glory! Come on, let's just give Him a big shout of praise one more time. Come on, let's just thank Him. Come on. Yes! Hallelujah! 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 Woo! Ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. Hear that, Mr. Devil? We're laughing at you. Ha, 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 ha. You get your hands off these people. You get your hands off of what God has blessed. Amen? Amen. Turn to your neighbor, give him a high five, and tell him God is good. Amen. All right, well, that was good. We can all go home now. Woo-wee. Come on. Glory. So this is something that, tonight we're going to talk about something that's been kind of moldering around in my heart. And, you know, I guess I'm preaching to myself tonight. And so if you want to come along for the ride, that's absolutely fine. Today, I guess the title of my message is Going Into Your Promised Land. Ooh. Ooh. Ah. Ooh. Yeah. Shaka. That's right. Oh, it's happening. And I guess my text this evening, we're going to look pretty extensively, actually, in the book of Exodus. I'm going to spend some time. I love the Old Testament. I spend a lot of time in the New Testament. But I love the Old Testament as well, and we're going to kind of look at the book of Exodus a little bit, and we're going to look at some things that happened in there. In our text this evening, I guess our main point this evening will be found in Exodus chapter 6, verse 8 in the New Living. And I really like this, so let's put it up there. There we go. Well, that was pretty spiffy, eh? Snapped and it appeared. I like that. I will bring you into the land I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you as your very own possession. I am the Lord. Amen? Okay, let's read that again. I will bring you into the land I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you as your very own possession. I am the Lord. Well, there's a lot in that passage of Scripture right there, in that one little verse, man. That we could be shouting and hollering and dancing all around this building. Because let me tell you something. When God says something, That's concrete. It's solid. They're throwing stuff away out there, going crazy. And when God said this, God made a covenant, made a promise with these guys, and said that, I'm going to give you land. I'm going to give you stuff. I'm going to bless you. You're going to have received those blessings, and it belongs to you and your children's children and everyone thereafter. And let me tell you something. God is true to his word. Now, some of us, we've been wandering around a little bit, and we're going to look at this a little bit more in a minute, but we got to understand something. That when the Lord says something, when he says, I am the Lord, that means massive period. It's done. Okay? All right. So we got an opportunity here now. We're starting off on a whole new year. This is exciting, 2023. It only seemed like yesterday we were celebrating 2000. Remember when everything was supposed to shut down? You know? Thought all the computers were going to blow up and people were stocking up, you know, water and filling their bathtubs full of water because they're afraid the pumps and the water would, well, I don't know what they were. People are nuts, you know? You're laughing because you know it's true. Because you were probably doing that. We may or may not have. I'm not going to tell all the secrets. But, you know, here's a new year. And for some people, it might seem like, oh, it's just another year. Same old, same old. They're going to have the same issues, same problems, same financial dealings, same whatever, same headache, same this, same that. But, you know, it comes down to this, is that we have an opportunity right now, and we can do this at any point in the year, but right now seems like a very good time. Because we get the most bang for your buck. But we can make a decision in our minds and in our hearts that we're going to have a good year. We get to make the decision right now that no matter what comes at us, we are going to come at it and we are going to be triumphant. And a lot of it is in our minds, you know. We have to confess the word, we got to believe the word, and we got to see what the word of God says about our outcome, you know. If you're continually going around in defeat and feeling defeated and down and out all the time, well, you're not into the Word of God, or you're not focusing on the right scriptures. Because the Word of God is full of life. And if you're standing on the Word of God, if the God, Word of God says something, it's solid, it means it. So if it says that you're blessed, well, guess what? If it says you're healed, you're
healed.
That's right. And so therefore, is that once we get it, you know, it's good to have head knowledge and know what the Word of God says. When you get the heart knowledge and you get an understanding and you start using it and start applying it, come on, that's when everything starts changing. Excuse me. So, tonight we're going to have a little look here at the children of Israel in the book of Exodus. And we're going to see their journey because, let me tell you, it was kind of interesting. In order for them to get to the promised land, they spent some time in Egypt and even in the wilderness. All right? Now, in the first chapter, we see the start of an extremely difficult time for the Israelites, for the Hebrew children. Turn over your Bibles to Exodus chapter 1. This is where we're going to start tonight. And then for the next 17 hours, we're going to do a very big commentary reading. No, I'm joking. But we're going to go through this a little bit. Exodus chapter 1, verse 6. We're going to start there. In time, Joseph and all of his brothers died, ending that entire generation. But their descendants, the Israelites, had many children and grandchildren. In fact, they multiplied so greatly that they became extremely powerful and filled the land. Eventually, a new king came to power in Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph or what he had done. He said to his people, "Look, the people of Israel now outnumber us and are stronger than we are. We must make a plan to keep them from growing even more. If we don't, and if war breaks out, they will join our enemies and fight against us. Then they will escape from the country." So the Egyptians made the Israelites their slaves. They appointed brutal slave drivers over them, hoping to wear them down with crushing labor. They forced them to build the cities of Pithom and Ramses as supply centers for the king. Now we see here that things kind of got real bad real quick. And things actually, in the next couple verses we're going to see, it actually got worse. Let's go the next verse here now. But the more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more the Israelites multiplied and spread, and the more alarmed the Egyptians became. So the Egyptians worked the people of Israel without mercy. They made their lives bitter, forcing them to mix mortar and make bricks and do all the work in the fields. They were ruthless in all of their demands. And as you keep reading, going through the scriptures, and you see some of the things that these people had to do and what was expected of them, it was ridiculous. Now, if you want a nice, you know, kind of G-rated version of this, watch the Prince of Egypt, the movie. You know what I'm talking about, the cartoon one? That is actually very close to scriptural. Like, I mean, they've done a pretty good job producing that movie, and that is like probably 20 years old now. But it's still a very good movie. How many know the movie I'm talking about, The Prince of Egypt? You know? It's a pretty good movie. I like that one. Now I want to go and watch it. But anyway, it's a really good show. I like that one. All right. So, now we see that these poor Hebrew children, you know what? It's a dark time. How many of you can agree with that? They start off and everything was great. When Joseph was alive, you know, Joseph was like second in command of all of Egypt. You know, he was looking after stuff. And, you know, the Israelites were thriving. They were part of the country. They were doing stuff. And then all of a sudden, this new guy showed up, you know, and they kind of forgot about Joseph and everything that he had done. And things just went downhill for the Hebrew children. But, let me see. I got to miss the scripture verse here. I don't miss my scripture verses. I need those. But then we see that God was still with the people. Now, you might seem like, oh, my Lord, where are you in all this? You know, why have you let these poor Hebrew children suffer so much? You know, why are they going through all this crazy right now? Why are you allowing this to happen? Well, the further we read through the book of Exodus, we see things, once again, keep getting bad, but God had a plan. And in Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 to 25, we're going to read here now, verse 23. And it says, the years passed, and the king of Egypt died, and the Israelites continued to groan under the burden of slavery. So now they've got a new Pharaoh, and this new guy, he's still a pain in the butt. They cried out for help, and their cry rose up to God. Keep going. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He looked down on the people of Israel and knew that it was time to act. Even in your dark times, it might seem like, where's God? Trust me, he's there. You know? Now, God is still there. We don't necessarily see it. We sing that song every now and then, you know? Even when we don't see it, you're working. You know, even when we don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop. Well, God is always working on our behalf. Amen? Well, with these guys, God was working on their behalf. You don't believe me? Just ask the guy by the name of Moses. Moses showed up on the scene. You know, Moses was actually one of these Hebrew children. And through a series of events, he became, you know, a part of Pharaoh's household, you know. And he was raised as an Egyptian by Pharaoh's daughter, you know. But yet he was still an Israelite. But Mama put him in the basket, saved his life. And, you know, big sis Miriam watched over him as he was traveling through the Nile, I guess, and they found him. And, you know, he was raised. And if you read in your Bible and you read a story, you know, Moses went out one day and he seen what was happening to the people. And he seen the slave driver that was there. And he was beating on one of his brethren, you know, one of these Hebrew guys, one of these Israelites. And something came over Moses, and he got all upset, and he went out, and he killed the Egyptian. You know, took the guy out. And he thought, it, you know, it was like, man, I saved you type thing, you know. Next day after, he went outside, and he seen two of the Israelites arguing back and forth, you know. And he's like, guys, what are you doing? Why are you fighting against each other? Don't you know, like, your brother? And like, come on now, what's wrong with you? And one of them looked at him as like, oh, what are you going to do? You're going to kill us too like you did that Egyptian? He's like, I'm on your side, you know? But he got afraid and he took off, you know? And once they all found out on what happened, you know, Pharaoh wanted to kill him. It's all in scripture. You can read the story. And so he took off and, you know, he wiggles his way, I guess, through the desert. And, you know, he finds himself in a couple different weird places. And we'll see here now in a minute what happened. Now, The next cool thing that takes place here with Moses is that after he leaves Pharaoh, well, we see him, he's somewhere else. He is actually tending to a flock for his father-in-law. He got married, he met this woman. His name is Jethro. Now, Jethro was the high priest of Midian. And so if you look over in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, we're going to see what the encounter that Moses had here that really changed this around. It says, one day, Moses was tending to the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed with flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't the bush burning up? I must go see it. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush. Moses! Moses! Here I am, Moses replied. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And when Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. Guys, it might seem like you're going through a tough time right now, and where is God? Listen, He knows, okay? He knows. He hears you. He knows what's up. Now here, verse 8, this is what I want you to look at. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. The land where the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and whatever ites you can fit on there, now live. There might even be a few Thunder Bayites on there. Who knows? Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abused him. Now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people out of Egypt. Guys, Moses was called by God to go do something pretty spectacular. God showed up to Moses in a pretty cool way in a burning bush. But see, God told him, listen, I'm coming down to rescue them. God will make a way. This case, you know, the emergency life raft or the emergency ring here to help save, you know, to be a part of a very important part of the rescue of these Israelite children was Moses. You know, this brings me just to a little side note here is that be willing to be used by God because you don't know on whose life you're going to change and transform. I mean, every day of your life, you can come in contact with somebody, and you can minister to somebody, and you can be the change in somebody's life. You can be the help, the rescue that they need. Amen? But see, God had a plan. God had a rescue plan for the Israelites. And let me tell you this. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if He had a rescue plan for the Israelites back then, He's got a rescue plan for me and you to this very day. Amen? And His plan, we don't always see it, we don't always know it, we don't always understand it. But when we allow God to work through, let me tell you something. You're going to come out of that darkness and you're going to go into your promised land. Amen? You're going to go into that land flowing with milk and honey. You're going to go into that place where God has designed you to be, that land of prosperity, that land of life. Amen? That's where we're supposed to be. Now, Moses takes off and it continues on here. Moses obeys God and he goes to Pharaoh. And him and Pharaoh, they go toe to toe. You know the story. It gets a little interesting sometimes, you know? It's like, first of all, here was Moses. He's risking his life to go back to Pharaoh because Pharaoh wanted him killed. Right? Because he'd done something wrong. He killed a guy, right? But Moses obeyed God. Now, if you know, Pharaoh was a bit of a real hard head. You know, he wanted to play hardball. So Moses went, explained to him the situation, told him what God had said. God said, let my people go. And Pharaoh's like, what you talking about, Willis? You know? What do you mean? These, I'm not letting those people go. They're doing my work. You know? You think I'm going to build my own pyramids? You crazy? You know? What's wrong with you? I got these guys to work. You know? These guys are my slaves. I want them. They're my people. They're going to work for me. You know? What am I going to do? Make the Egyptians do the work? You crazy? They draw hand paint all day long. Those guys, you know, they can't build. They use slave labor. Anyway, so if you're an Egyptian, I'm sorry. This is back in the day. Not now. You guys are awesome. We love you all. Okay? All right, so the story continues. And so after some persuasiveness on Moses' side, and also with a few plagues from the Lord, Pharaoh had a heart change. You know, there's only so much famine and blood flowing through your rivers, and then, you know, cattle dying and frogs and locusts and whatever other creatures. And then, oh yeah, the big one, you know, the death angel that came through. Yeah, I think that would kind of soften you up a little bit, you know. And so if you actually look at Exodus chapter 12, verse 30 to 31, it says, Pharaoh and all his officials and all the people of Egypt woke up during the night, and the loud wailing was heard throughout the land of Egypt. There was not a single house where someone had not died. Can you imagine? Full community. Verse 31 says, Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron during the night. Get out, he ordered. Leave my people and take the rest of the Israelites with you. Go and worship the Lord as you have requested. Basically, he said, get out of here. We want no more. You're crazy here. Okay? Pharaoh lost his firstborn as well, and every other household in Egypt, those that did not put the blood on their doorposts like they were commanded to do, everyone that didn't do that, they suffered and they lost. It was sad. It was heartbreaking. And Pharaoh, that was the breaking point right there. Just go. Get out of here. Well, what did the Israelites do? They grabbed everything they had. The Bible actually tells us that, you know, some of them, they had the bread that they were making, and it wasn't even rose in time. You know, they just grabbed the way it was. That's where pancakes came from. No, I'm joking. Okay. But they just grabbed the way it was. You know, they left. And, you know, as they were leaving, they were actually instructed to, and let me tell you something, because they were leaving, they actually, the Egyptians gave away gold and jewels and clothes and stuff to the Hebrew people as they were leaving. So here is God now, deliver them. And not only are they leaving that dark place, they're leaving with stuff. You hear me? They got gold and silver and clothes and, you know, they got, Pharaoh even told them, take your livestock, take it all. Just, we want nothing that's got anything to do with you. So they left with a lot of stuff. You know, you think about it. When you come out of a dark time, out of a dark place, it's a lot nicer to come out of there with something. Amen? Because that's the way God provides. That's the way God sets things up. We don't always understand how it comes from. But there's been time in my life when we've been going through a dark time. But I, you know what? When we come out of that dark time, God's always got a reward or a blessing for us. He's always got it set up that we're going to come out on top, that we're not going to come out all battered and bruised and beat up, but we're going to come out victorious out of that. Amen? And see, we got to get it in our mindset here now, because this is a new year, is that, okay, we've gone through a rough time. Let's face it, we've all had a bit of a rough time. I mean, the whole world shut down, for heaven's sakes, and we're still feeling, you know, the issues that were caused by that, you know? And there's still a lot of people that's healing up and people that are still dealing with stuff, you know? There's people that was attacked in their finances and in their jobs. There was people attacked, you know, with their mental health and all those things. I mean, it has been a dark time globally for people. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, for the body of Christ, for the believers who get down on their knees and they worship God and they choose to commit themselves to the one and only, the great I Am, come on now, when they start seeing what, you know, He's saying to them in His Word and realize, wait a minute, I'm a king's kid. I'm going to be blessed. The blessings belong to me. Come on, I'm not supposed to be stuck in an Egypt. I'm not supposed to be stuck in the wilderness. But I'm supposed to be going into my promised land. And I'm supposed to be going in there blessed. And when you start changing your mindset around it, you know what? I'm not sad anymore. I don't want to be broke anymore. I don't want to be depressed anymore. I don't want to be sick anymore. I want to be the righteousness of God in Christ. I want to walk in the fullness of life that God has set before me. I want to be victorious. I want to be the head and not the tail. Come on now, I'm not being no slave no more. No slave to sin, no slave to fear, no slave to sickness. I ain't building no more pyramids. I'm done with that foolishness. Come on now, I'm coming and I am going ahead, man. I'm going to take the land that belongs to me. Amen. I'm preaching better than what your amen, and I guarantee it. I'll drink to that. Now, even as they're coming out, you know, they've been told to get out, and they start marching. Well, they start going towards the Red Sea. Well, by this time now, old Pharaoh is hurt. It's changed again. And he's like, I'm going to get them. And he is mad. So what does he do? Well, Scripture tells us that he loads up 600 of his, you know, special chariots and all the other chariots that's around. He gets all of his other, you know, the full army, basically, and is saying, we're going after him. We're going to go get him. He was filled with rage and anger. This is his heart was hardened in Scripture. And so they take off. And they start going. They start marching and start riding off towards where these Hebrew children are. Well, they hear these Hebrew children now and they arrive at the Red Sea. And this is where they're hanging out. You know? Oh, great. Seaside vacation. It's going to be nice. You know? Yeah, maybe we'll just sit here for a little bit. Maybe there's a cabana over here we can sit on. There might be a palm tree or two. Any coconuts over there, I wonder? You know? Here they are. It's like, we're free. What are we going to do? Well, let's just hang out here. Man, we've been working for so long, and, you know, we've been slaves for so long. I think we've earned this vacation, you know? But then, as they were setting up and doing things, they look up, and what do they see? The army of Egypt coming after them. Well, what'd they start doing? Oh, no, we're going to die! We're going to die. Moses, why'd you bring us out here for? Was there no graves in Egypt? Come on now. Was there not enough space in Egypt to bury our body? At least in Egypt we had onions and food and, you know, we had stuff. And now we're out here. And now we're going to die. And Moses is like, shut up. No. He probably didn't. But he's like, listen. And actually he says, don't go crying. Don't go crying to me. You know, just hold on a second. So, Moses has a conversation with God as well as with the people. And, you know, in Exodus chapter 14:14, put that up there, Kelsey. This is very simple, but this is what Moses said to the people. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. You chill out, man. God's got you. You know? And a lot of times, you know, we're hitting that panic button and we're freaking out when stuff starts happening. You know? What am I supposed to do? You know? Well, right here in Exodus 14:14, it tells us right here what we're supposed to do. Because if this was good enough for the Israelites when the full army of Egypt was coming after them on one side and a great big sea on in front of them, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to swim across? You know, seriously. But here, the Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Amen? Stay calm, baby. That's all you got to do is stay calm. The Lord himself will fight for you. We need to put that on a shirt or a, you know, a something. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Now, how many of you know that sometimes it's hard to stay calm? If you ever face a situation and you definitely not want to stay calm, one time that I did not stay calm, when me and my wife was flying from Calgary, Alberta to Edmonton on a Dash 8, okay? If you don't know what a Dash 8 is, it's a sorry excuse of an airplane, all right? I like something to where you got space and you have, you know, lots of jet engines and something that, you know, is space, all right?
A Dash 8, this is a twin prop, you know, airplane. Basically, it's a pencil with wings. And so we're crammed in this thing, and we're flying, and we take off, and the steward, we're sat in the front of the plane. The male steward is there sitting in front of us. And we're just flying, and we're just kind of chatting and having a grand old time. And all of a sudden, on the left-hand side, the motor starts making some weird noises. So we're, me being a bit of a gearhead, you know, I'm always listening to stuff, right? And I can tell you when there's a different hum or when something changes. I can tell you when there's a speed change, when the RPM changes. You know, I listen to machinery all the time. You know, I can tell you when something is not right, and I know when an engine is not working right. And when your engine is going, it's not right. Something is broken. Okay? Now, if you want to not stay calm, that was a prime opportunity right there, because I looked at the steward, and his face was white as a ghost. And he had the look of sheer terror on his face. And I looked at the man and I said, "You're not supposed to look that way." I wish I knew the scripture verse at that time so I could tell him, "Stay calm." I looked at Kendra, and we weren't married then, and I looked at her and I said, "This ain't good." Now, Kendra is always the voice of reason. I'm serious. There could be, like, everything could be falling around, apart around you. She's like, "It'll be okay. It's fine." And I'm looking at my to-be wife. We're engaged. "No, honey. That engine is not making..." And then as we're having a conversation, the plane starts doing one of these things. Starts doing the jitterbug. Right? Well, by this time, the poor steward, he had to change his underwear. The guy was, I mean, I don't know if he was new or what the situation was, but he was not equipped for what was happening. And then as quick as everything happened, everything leveled right out. It just stopped. And my wife just like, "See, told you." I had a great opportunity to not be calm. And the guy in front of me took the opportunity to not be calm. I'm going to blame him. But you know, my wife stayed calm. Because in all reality, in case of emergency, what good are you when you're, "Oh my gosh, what am I going to do?" Like when you're freaking out, right? You're not going to do nothing, you know? I would be one of those guys that would be, "Oh, fire, fire," you know, just running around. But here's Kendra, good old solid Kendra, you know? Nothing can shake her, you know? But, you know, it's funny because the Lord himself will fight for you. Amen? And so this is what Moses was telling those crazy Israelites. The Lord will fight for you. Now, here's what ended up happening. The Lord had a conversation with Moses and said, "Listen, Moses, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to protect you, but you've got to spread your hand out over the lake, over the sea, and I'm going to spread it open. And you guys are going to walk across. And then I'm going to block the Israelites or the Egyptians behind you so they can't see. And at the right time, you'll see what happens." So that's what Moses did. He walked up, he stretched his hand out, the Bible says, and what happened? The Red Sea parted. And they walked across on dry land. Have you ever been to a place to where there was water and now there's no water? The ground is still wet. It's still soggy. It's muddy. When they drained Boulevard Lake here a year or so ago, you know, that ground was still very much so mucky. And you're not walking across that, you know, without being up to your waist in mud, right? These guys, not only was the water pushed back and they had the biggest aquariums to look at, you know, but they walked across on dry land. Amen? You see, God is going to do some awesome things in tough situations. And it's just sit back and let God do God. Amen? Because when we try and figure things out, because I'm sure there's people like, "Well, maybe we can build some boats or we can, you know, use our carts and convert them into rafts so we get some people over. Maybe we can start swimming," you know? Try and reason things out in your own. But no, let God take you through. And let me tell you something. They all walked through, every single one of them. None of them perished. And when they got through the other side, well, the crazy Egyptians seen this and they're like, "We're coming too." Right? Now, Pharaoh was all mad and whatnot, so he was coming on. He didn't care what was happening. He was coming on. And, well, let me tell you something. You know that old song, Splish Splash, was taking a bath? That's what happened to those guys. Because when the Egyptians got into the middle of that passageway through the water came in on them, and man, it was a mess. They were all wiped out and smited, and whatever you want to call them, they were taken out. And that was the end of Pharaoh. You know? God's chosen people were protected and saved. And they were brought through a very dangerous and dark place. Amen? That's how awesome our God is. That God will protect you. He will fight for you. He will fight your enemies. Come on. And we can go all throughout Scripture. We can see situations on where He fought for His people. Amen? And let me tell you something. I belong to God. Anybody else in here belong to God? Well, God is going to fight for you. Come on. Stay calm. Amen? God is going to fight your battles. Hallelujah. Now, you speed it up a little bit, and through a series of unfortunate events, you know, I like to say that the Israelites made it to the Promised Land overnight. No, they took the scenic route, and 40 years later, they finally end up getting there. But, you know, after a few circles and the wrong turns and a lot of disobedience, you know, they finally get something straightened out, you know. But they get there. And then they wander around it as, but God was still protecting them, still providing for them, even in that wilderness. That's how good our God is, ladies and gentlemen. So God will never leave you nor forsake you. He's not going to turn His back on you. Come on now. But then about 40 years later, and you can read about it in the book of Joshua, what do they do? The Hebrew children, the Israelites, they make it to the Promised Land. They make it to what God had promised them. They get into that land flowing with milk and honey. That there was opposition. There was struggle, you know. They had some fights. They had some situations. They were fighting with themselves, you know. It was the whole golden calf fiasco that took place as well, you know. Not to mention Jericho. Remember that place? You know, they had a few things to go through. But through every situation that they went through, God was there, God was leading, and God was all-powerful, and God was just making a scene, man. God was doing some pretty cool stuff through all those situations. Amen? So, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be stuck in the same old spot. I don't want to be stuck in Egypt. I don't want to be stuck at the side of the Red Sea. And I don't even want to be wandering around the wilderness. I want to be in the Promised Land. So, what steps do I need to take to make this happen? Well, real quick, I got 75 steps that we're going to talk. First one is, you change your thinking. This is where a lot of people get stuck. They're stinking thinking. Romans 12:2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. If you can think the old way, the old, oh, I'm so low, I'm so broke, I'm so depressed, I'm so sad, I can't do this, well, that's where you're going to stay. But if you change your thinking and you put on the mind of Christ and say, I'm an overcomer, I am healed, I am whole, I am blessed, I am prosperous, and you start getting into the Word and you start confessing the Word, come on, baby, you're going to be blessed. Come on now. How many blessed people I got in here tonight? Anybody? Amen. 3.5. All right. The second step that we're going to do, we're going to look forward. A lot of times you like staring in the rearview mirror for whatever reason. Oh, the good old days. I don't think the Israelites, after they went through all this stuff, look back, man, I wish we were still in Egypt. You know, I really wish I was up on them pyramids right now, just lifting those heavy bricks and making bricks and making, I wish, I don't think they were doing that, you know. If they were, there's something seriously wrong with them, you know. You know, yeah, it's good to learn from the past, but we don't dwell there, we don't stay there. We got to look forward to the future, amen? We got to see what God's got in front of us, you know. It's easy to stay in the past, but in order to move forward and be successful in life, we got to let go of the past and get into the future. Come on, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, the new life has begun. Forget the old, put on the new, and walk in the fullness thereof. And the third step, real quick, is use your faith. This is sometimes, you know, this is a faith church, but even, you know, us faith people, we can forget about that sometimes. We don't use our faith the way we necessarily should, you know? Oh, yeah, well, I go to Faith City Church. I'm a faith man. Right? And then you get on an airplane. Oh, Lord, we're going down, you know? Oh, yeah, you real crazy giant of faith, you. Yeah, you're something. I'm talking about me. This is where the rubber really hits the road. We trust in God. If he said it, that settles it, and we need to believe it. So if God says he's bringing you through, what's he doing? He promised that land to those people. They got it. Woo! Mark 11, 22, 24. Put it up there, Kels. Then Jesus said to his disciples, this is so simple and so basic, but I love it. Have faith in God. Like, guys, have faith in God. Disciples, all right, keep going. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may it be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe. See, that's the thing right there. Not maybe believe, and not a little bit, but not think you believe. Maybe hope you believe. Really believe. How many real believers I got in here right now? There we go. Really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, let's say that together. It will be yours. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a big shout of praise right there. Now, you know, I turn this into a New Year's message, but this could actually apply anytime. We can start this anytime, right? But now seems like a very good time to do this. Now it just seems like a good time because we're going to get the most. Why put it off? No, I'm going to, like, change my mind and get out of all this doubt and unbelief next year. I just like where I am right now. What's wrong with you? You know? Well, we need to choose to make this year the best year ever. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world. Doesn't matter if inflation and gas prices and those, you know, the crazy word recession's floating around. You know, if they want to keep whispering pandemics again, what odds? Because let me tell you something, God is still on the throne. It doesn't matter what the news is saying. It doesn't matter what some crazy people are saying all around the world. But I'm going to tell you what matters is what the Word of God says. And so therefore, I'm going to choose to move forward this year. I'm going to choose to be blessed. I'm going to choose to walk into my promised land that God has promised for me. I choose to walk into my land of milk and honey. So this year is going to be the biggest blessing year to date for my family. Why? Because I'm declaring it right now. I believe it and I receive it. I don't know if there's anybody on board with me right now, if anyone else is believing the same thing. But come on, if you're ready to have a fantastic 2023, stand on your feet right now. And let's thank the Lord for his goodness. Come on, let's just put our faith and our trust in him right now. Let's just declare that this year is going to be our best year yet. For some of us, it might seem like it might be starting off a little rocky. But come on, that's okay. That's fine. God is still here. God is still on the throne. You know what? Nothing is impossible for our God. Come on, let's all stretch our hands towards heaven and just thank him right now for his blessings that he's given to us, that he's bestowing on us. Thank him that you're walking out of Egypt. You're going through the Red Sea. You're gone past the wilderness, and you're walking in to your place, your promised land, your land full of milk and honey. Amen. The place where God wants you to be. The place that is your inheritance. The place that God has called you to be. Hallelujah! Yes! 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.